Hallelujah. Yes. Give Jesus a hand clap. Hallelujah. You clapped better for me than you did for Jesus. Give Jesus a hand clap. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. There is none like him, and none could be compared with him. How many of you are excited that Jesus saved you? Hallelujah. I am excited that I've been saved because I know where I was. I don't want to think about where I could have been. Hallelujah. I'm very, very grateful to the Lord. I want you to rise up on your feet.
Yes, thanks, Father God.
I know you just sat down, but I want you to begin to give thanks to the Lord for seeing you through this year, bringing you forward. Thank him for the month of January. Lift up your mouth and just say, Lord, I thank you. There is many people you started this year with, and they are nowhere to be found. Thank you for keeping me safe. Thank you for keeping me healthy. Thank you for watching over me, watching over my family. We give you praise. We give you honor. We thank you for the month of January. Thank God for the month of February. Open your mouth. Let the Lord hear you. I didn't say think about thanking God. Thank God out of your lips. Let God know that you appreciate him. Thank God for the month of March. Lord, I'm so grateful. I am thankful. I'm thankful for the month of March. Thank God for the month of April. Father, we give you praise. We honor you. We are grateful. We appreciate you. It is not because of who we are or what we are, but it's by your mercy. For it is not to him who wills nor to him runs, but it is God that showeth mercy. I thank God for the month of May. Lord, I thank you. What a crazy year it has been. But your word is faithful. You've kept us. We thank you. Thank God for the month of June. Continue to open your mouth and thank God. We thank God for the month of July. Lord, you are good, and your mercies endure forever. Thank God for the month of August. Father, we thank you. Thank God for the month of September. Hallelujah. We thank you for keeping us. Thank God for the month of October. Thank God for this month. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And thank God that the rest of the year is going to be better than the... Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we have prayed. And the people of God says amen. And amen. May you be seated. I'm excited to be here. I know that this church is blessed. You know why I know that this church is blessed? Are you guys awake or? Do you know why I know that this church is blessed? Because you have Pastor Luke as your pastor. Amen. Amen. And I'm not saying that because he's here, even though I've said worse things about him when he's not there. But I was just with my wife and I last week. We were in Central PA preaching at Kutztown, and the pastor asked me, "Where are you going next?" And I said, "Oh, I'm going to West Virginia with Pastor Luke." He was like, "Oh man, I need to go down and see that man." I was like, "Yeah, you should." He said that many people try, like myself, you try to act humble and look humble, but Pastor Luke doesn't have to even try to look humble. It's just his nature. That is who he is. He's probably one of the most humble, apart from me, one of the most humble men. One of the most humble men that I know personally. And he's been great help to us. Very, very great help. Very great help. And I love him. I love him from the bottom of my heart. You know, he would ask me, "Hey, you want to hang out? I don't mind driving down." I was like, "I'm not going to have you drive down. I'll drive down. You are the man of God. I'm just the boy of God." So every time he said, "You want to hang out?" I drive down to come see him. I never let him drive down. Amen. Amen. I'm excited to be here. And I know that this week, the Lord is going to use the few days that we have together to put something tangible in your life.
Amen.
Amen. And I know God is going to do something for you. If I was you, which I'm not you, that's what I'm telling you. If I was you, I would not miss any service. Amen. Yeah. Because I know he's going to be good. You know why I know? Because I know the guy that is preaching. And people said he's good. That's what people said. And I believe what the people are saying. this year, regardless of what is going on in this year, regardless of all the mess, I'm very, very grateful to God for what he has done in my life and even in the life of my family and our ministry and even the people that are around us, period. That we have seen the hand of God do the things that only God can do.
Yeah.
And that is why I'm very, very confident God is going to do something great in your life this week in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
God has done the only God can do. You know, even though there was a lockdown, God didn't lock us down. Hallelujah. And God is going to do the same thing for you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That the God who lifts the beggars out of the dunghill and set their feet upon the rock shall set your feet upon the rock in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That it doesn't matter what the devil has done against you. It doesn't matter what has come against you. God is the God that changes life. For the Bible says that for with men things may seem impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Yeah.
Maybe you have come into a place or you have been brought into a place where you feel like, man, there is no way I could get out of this situation. I came to announce to you that we don't serve a dead God, but we serve a living God. For he's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever. And the same God that opens the eyes of the blind shall do a miracle in your life this week in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, what all you need for your life to turn around, all you need for a turnaround in your life is just one word from the Lord.
Okay.
That's all you need.
Yes.
All you need is one word from the Lord, and your life would receive a turnaround for good. And I pray that this week that the Lord would open up your ears and the Lord would open up your heart and you shall hear the word that would bring a divine transformation in your life for good in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, I was in Connecticut with my wife not too long ago, probably what, last month or 2 months ago? Last month. And then there was a lady that came. If she's watching, I apologize, but there was a lady that came in the back. She came to the service in a wheelchair. You know, when I got close to her, I've never smelled, with the exception of my friend Cody, there is nobody that smells that bad. I'm just, you know, Cody was my best friend in Bible school, so I love him. So I've never smelled anybody that smelled that bad. She smelled so bad. You could tell. She sat in the wheelchair, probably can't do anything, eases on herself or whatever the situation was. Smelled so bad. You know, she came to the service, sat in the back. And when every time I look at her, I was getting upset because I'm preaching my heart out and she was falling asleep like some of you are. You know, I'm preaching hard, screaming, doing everything. And she was sitting down like falling asleep. So you know what I did? Because I knew that if anybody needed a touch from the Lord, she needed it the most.
Amen.
So I went and stood next to her. And I said, God is going to do it for you. The Lord is going to heal you. I kept looking at her and preaching. You know, if somebody's standing in front of you and screaming, it's very hard to fall asleep. Yeah. So you could tell one eye was like trying to close, one eye was trying to open and hear me. So at the end of the service, when I was praying for the people, I saw, because I wasn't, you know, the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone that comes to God must first believe that he is. God is who you believe him to be.
Yeah.
If you believe that God is your healer, the Lord is going to heal you.
Yeah.
If you believe that God is your deliverer, the Lord is going to deliver you. If you believe that the Lord is your provider, God is going to provide for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't, you know, when somebody asked me this question a while ago, if you have a line praying for people to get healed and you lay hands on people and you pray for them and they don't get healed, what do? I said, move on to the next person. Because listen, I never came and said that in my name you shall be healed. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe in it, the Bible says that Paul was preaching and he saw a man that had faith to be healed.
Yeah.
And he walked up to him and said that in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up. And the man got healed.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, that is why we preach. You preach faith into the people. Because people have to receive the faith of God in them and believe that God is more than able to change their life and change the course of their destiny. Until you come to that realization, you can come to church, go out, come in, you will see people receiving testimonies and miracles all around you, and you would never have an encounter with the Lord. So, you know, I was praying for people. I totally ignored her. because she was falling asleep. She probably didn't hear what I was preaching. But as I was praying for people, I saw her begin to will herself forward. So when I saw her willing herself forward, I walked up to her, left everybody in the line, walked up to her, I grabbed her hands and pulled her out of the wheelchair. And she began to take a step. And then she began to walk and she lifted up my wife. You know, if you think I'm lying, ask my wife. She doesn't lie, I know. You know why I know? Because she's my wife. You know, and she began to walk. And the Lord healed her. And this lady that came in with in a wheelchair left the service pushing out her own wheelchair. Listen, I don't know why you came here this morning. I don't know what you believe in God for. I don't know what your story is. I don't know what your circumstances. I came here to declare unto you that you are one prayer away from seeing the hand of God turn your situation around in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe it, make some noise unto the Lord and give God praise. Hallelujah. So, you know, this year, my spiritual father declared, like I said, all you need is one word from the Lord. My spiritual father declared, as the Lord spoke to him, that this is going to be a year of a supernatural harvest, a year, a good year. You know, and then all of a sudden, we hit March, and everything turned around, everything shifted, and you're like, man, did he really hear from the Lord or not? But it is your responsibility, and let me tell you this. When you talk about faith, faith that puts total responsibility on God is the wrong faith. It's what you call an irresponsible faith. Because faith, what faith is that faith is saying that God, you do your part and I'll do my part. Yes. The word of the Lord have come. The man of God said that this year is going to be a year of a supernatural increase. It doesn't matter what the enemy brings. It doesn't matter what we see. The year is going to be a year of supernatural increase. So you know what? We begin to confess it. We stood upon the word of the Lord. And then we begin to see increase all around in the name of Jesus Christ. And I came here to tell you that even though it seems like you are not experiencing anything from God, even though it seems like the devil has you in the corner, the last few months that we have, the last few weeks we have in December, shall be your month of turnaround in the mighty name of Jesus. You shall see the hand of God move on your behalf. The Bible says that for we go from glory to glory and from victory to victory. You shall see the victory of the Lord this year in the name of Jesus Christ. So, you know, I could only tell you what the Lord has done for me. I don't know what your life is, but I could also tell you that if you believe the word of the living God, how your life will play out. Amen. Amen. So he says that the year is going to be a year of a supernatural increase. And that's all I heard. The man of God has spoken. The word of the Lord said that this year is going to be a good year. Whether Rona or Corona or whatever happens, this year is going to be a good year. We took the word and we began to run with it. Though the whole world was saying that there was a casting down, we began to say that there is a lifting up. Even though everybody was saying that there is sickness all around us, we said that we're sick, the Lord shall keep us safe. He says that he's no plague, no divination, no infirmity, no sickness, no witchcraft. Nothing shall come near us because the word of the Lord said, this year we are to increase in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes. So we began to see increase with everything that we do. And that's what I want to be able to preach to you this week, that the God of increase would bring increase in your life. He will bring increase in your family, in your health, in your finances. You know, we've been through one of the worst. I'm not that old, but as far as I've been alive, I've never seen a year like this. I've never seen a year like this. But in the midst of the year, we still begin to see people. You know, this church was open in the craziest year.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So listen to me. If God can do the work that he's doing in this year for the church, for people, then God is not going to write you out. God is going to do even greater for you. God is going to do greater for your family, and God is going to do greater for your children in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let me show you something in the Bible. You know, those that are saying that he hasn't even opened the Bible once. Now this is your chance. Let me show you something in the Bible. Go with me to Mark chapter 4. You don't know where Mark is? I'm trying to find it myself. If you want to know where Mark is, start from Genesis. By the time the service is over, you'll probably find it. On the same day, Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said unto them, let us cross over to the other side. Listen, Jesus said, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when Jesus left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we perish? Then he arose and rebuked the wind. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so afraid? Why is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? I want to show you something here in the Bible. That Jesus said that we are crossing over to the other side. That was the word that the Lord has spoken. Like the word that came this year, that this year is going to be a year of supernatural acceleration. And when Jesus said we are crossing over to the other side, on their way to the other side, a storm arose like it arose this year. Yeah. Where, you know, professional fishermen, this were not just any guys that Jesus picked up from the side of the street and said, you know what, I got a free boat. Somebody just donated a boat to me to use it to go to the other side. I don't know how to ride this boat. But can you guys help me? And they're like, we don't know how to maneuver or use this boat, but we're going to figure things out. You know, like some of you every year, you don't know how your life is going to pan out. You don't know how the year is going to be. Just figuring things out in life. But these were men and women who were well-trained. It was the trade of their family. They've been fishermen all their entire life. Some of them, they inherited their trade from their fathers. So as far as they know, all the only thing that they knew how to do was be fishermen. They've been on the sea. They've encountered storms. They knew how to maneuver through life. You know, like some of you in your businesses, you've been through ups and downs in your business. You know how to bounce back every time business goes down. It is like you've been through every storm that you could think of. You teach classes about how to get out of storms. You know how to maneuver through life. You know, some of you, you are so good at what you do that people come to you for advice until you encountered a storm this year where it's like you are saying that a storm like this we have never seen before. A storm like this we've never heard of. You know, all of a sudden, the entire world ceases. The whole world is shut down. You don't know how you're going to pay for your bills. You don't know how you're going to fend for your family. You don't know what is going to be of tomorrow. You know, every time you open the news, it's like one bad news after the other. You don't know what to do with your life. And it seems like this storm is going to be the death of you. You know, that is what the disciples thought. Because they said, the master, don't you care that we die? Carest thou not we perish? You know, it's very, very, you know, for somebody who knows how to deal with a circumstance to tell you, you know, just imagine going to the hospital. You go to the best surgeon, you know, like whatever problem you have, and they refer you to the best surgeon in town or in the country. And you go there, and the surgeon tells you, listen, I've seen a lot of cases, but I've never seen anything like yours. At that moment, you know that you are finished. Yeah. You are done. I've seen a lot of cases. I've never seen anything like yours. Or even worse, the surgeon said that I've never seen anyone that has had the problem that you had and survived. You know, there is people that go through that. When I was in Finland with my wife, a lady was brought from hospice. You know, this lady had stage 4 cancer. Part of her intestines were taken out. The doctors have given her a few months to live. You know, you go to the doctors to be healed, and the doctors are telling you that you only have a limited time to live, for we can't help you. There is nothing we can do medically to change your situation. The only thing is that we can give you a death sentence. And that was her situation. You know, some of you, maybe now you find yourself in a spot like that. That, you know, you all hope is lost. Maybe in your marriage, it might have nothing to do with this season. Maybe your marriage, you love your wife, you love your children, whatever, and all of a sudden a storm arose in your marriage. And it's like, you know that there is no way there could be a restoration. I came to announce to you this morning, it doesn't matter how bad things may seem, the Bible declares that though it may seem impossible with men, for with God all things are possible. I see the God of possibility making all things possible in your marriage, making all things possible in your finances, making all things possible in your health. If you believe it, say amen and give God praise. Yeah. Hallelujah. So all of a sudden a storm arose, and professionals don't even know, because they don't even know what is going to be of tomorrow. Like, you open the news, they don't know what is going to be of tomorrow. This year has been a crazy year. You know, all of a sudden, all the things that we've seen, businesses, marriages, things, contemplating suicide because you don't know how you're going to come out of this. You've already given up on life. You know, for them to wake up Jesus, they came to the point where they knew that the last, if Jesus doesn't do anything about my situation, there is no one on this earth that can help me. Right. But you know that when you come to that point, you are in a good spot.
Yeah.
Because Jesus will do something about your situation in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So, you know, and you see that Jesus was asleep. The Bible says that he was stirring asleep. You know, it is crazy, but that is what we talk, when we say faith, that is what faith is. If you are not able to rest in the situation, that means that there is no faith, because faith would allow you to rest in front of any opposition. No matter how hard or how terrible the situation might look, if you have not come to the place where you can cross your legs or fold your arms and sleep, then which means that you need to work and develop your faith. Amen. So, you know, you have to understand this too, that faith, you know, Romans chapter 10 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, which is true. But genuine faith comes when you hear it from God directly. You look in the Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 12, talks about the heroes of faith. Every one of them, about 85% of them, they heard a word from the Lord. Abraham in Genesis chapter 7, Abraham, come out from your kindred, come out from your family, your father's house, and go onto the land that I will show you. Abraham heard from the Lord. Abraham, I will give you a son, and you shall become the father of many nations. The Bible, Romans chapter 4, that Abraham, though his body was as good as dead, and the deadness of Sarah's womb wavered not in his faith, because you know what? Abraham has heard the word of the living God, that God said he's going to give him a child. And Abraham believed that either God that is able to bring the dead back to life, if God said he's going to give me a son, it doesn't matter how dead my wife's womb is, it doesn't matter how dead my body is, it doesn't matter how terrible my situation is, God said it and he's going to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. I see every word that the Lord speaks over your life this morning, speaks over your life this week, coming to pass in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe it, say amen and give God praise.
Hallelujah.
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 So Abraham wavered not, because as bad as it looked in the natural, he knew the word that he has heard. You know, you have to come to a place where you can hear the word of the Lord.
Amen.
You have to come to a place. I remember one time, I was, first time I was doing the program in Africa. And, you know, I had booked airtime on TV to promote my program and all that. And I didn't have the money to go and do it, to go. You know, and the time was running, I've been praying, asking God. They didn't have the money. And I had a few days to go, and I remember when a friend of mine called me, and he said, are you ready for your programs? I said, You know, first of all, I only told him this because I know he wasn't in the position to be able to give me anything. So I was like, yeah, but the only thing I'm left with is the money to go, and I don't have it. I don't know where I'm going to get it. And he said, don't worry, you would get it. You always do. And you know what? It felt like God spoke through him to me.
Amen.
There was a peace that came. Don't worry, you would get it. You always do. It was a peace that came. Since then, I lost all anxiety and all worry. Didn't pray about it one bit. Because when I heard the word, as though God spoke to me, faith came alive in me. And I knew that I could go to sleep in the midst of the storm. Because God is going to take care of it in the name of Jesus Christ. And you know what? I went to sleep. I never worried about it. 2 weeks came to pass, 3 weeks came to pass, there was no money. Now, I was left to go to Ghana. I was supposed to travel out on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. And on Tuesday, I was with another friend. And he said, hey, do you have all the money to go to Ghana? He said, how much do you need to go to Ghana? I told him, he says, do you have it? I said, no. And he was like, because, you know, this was around 5 p.m. 5 p.m. on Tuesday. And I'm flying at 10 a.m. But did you know that before the end of the day on Tuesday, the Lord did a miracle. And every single dollar and even more that I needed to travel with came in.
Hallelujah.
You know, that is the God that you serve. Because if Jesus said you are crossing over to the other side, it doesn't matter the storm that has risen up. It doesn't matter what is being said on the news. It doesn't matter what the doctor said. It doesn't matter what your bank account said. It doesn't matter what is happening in your marriage. It doesn't matter what is happening in the life of your children. Jesus said you are crossing over to the other side. I see you going over to the other side. I see you rising on top. I see you victorious. I see you walking in hell. I see you prospering in all that you do. Somebody say amen and give God praise. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. So Jesus told them, so all you need, you know, all you need in life is just a word from the Lord. Hear a word from God and everything in your life. You know, one of the most famous stories I've heard, some of you probably have heard this before. R.W. Schoenbach, a guy told him a story, and he used it for his television programs. The guy was in a hospital, and he was, you know, gonna die, and Jesus appeared to him. And if you are about to die and Jesus appeared to you, how many of you know that all your problem comes to an end? But it wasn't the case for the guy. Jesus didn't heal him. Jesus looked at him and said, you don't have any problem. All you need is faith in God. Because when faith comes alive in you, listen, the devil cannot fight against your faith. The devil cannot stop your faith from coming to pass. Faith is not saying that I'm believing God for something good to happen. Faith is saying that I know this is what the word of God says. And the word of God said that if I do this, God is going to do that for me. So I'm going to do this so that God will do what he has promised. And I see the promises of God, as the Bible says, that for his promises of God are yes and amen. That the promises of God shall be yes and amen. The promises concerning your divine health shall be yes and amen. The promises concerning your finances shall be yes and amen. The promises concerning your marriage shall be yes and amen. The promises concerning your business shall be yes and they shall be amen in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Jesus was soon asleep because the word of the Lord said we are crossing over to the other side. That is why he could fall asleep. You know, that is why I could chillax in 2020 in the midst of all the chaos. In the midst of all the craziness, I don't see anything because I fixed my eyes on the word of the living God. The word of the living God that came to me this year is that 2020 is a year of supernatural acceleration. I fixed my eyes on the word. There could be all chaos around me. All I know is that I'm being accelerated. All I know is that I'm being promoted. All I know is that I'm going higher. All I know that there is an increase all around me. Oh, I see the glory of God being broken off over your life. I see the glory of God being singling you out for a blessing in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So it didn't matter what was happening. You can choose to fix your eyes on the storm, or you can choose to fix your eyes on the word that the Lord has spoken. You know, it is completely up to you.
Yes.
It's dependent on you. You know, I came to understand this, that God doesn't really have anything to do for you. Because everything that God wants to do, he's already done it in his word. He's already told you what he wants to do. He has already told you what he wants to bring into your life. He's already told you the blessings that he wants you to have. It is your responsibility as a child of God to say that I choose to become all that God wants me to become. I choose to move into the divine blessings of the Almighty God. I choose to move into the prosperity of God. I choose to move into the favor of God. I choose to sleep in the midst of the storm and believe in the word that has come forth from the mouth of Jesus. Jesus slept in the midst of the storm, whilst the people that had experience on how to deal with the storm were panicking and were afraid for their life. And Jesus arose. You know that Jesus didn't rebuke the storm because he was afraid of the storm. He rebuked the storm for the sake of the people. Right. You know, David said that, yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death. Because in life, there would be times where you have to go through the valleys of the shadows of death. You know, the Bible says that though you walk through the fire, so times will come you'll have to walk through fire. The Bible says that though you walk through the storm, times will come you have to walk through the storm. But I want you to be encouraged that in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the chaos, God is with you. And the only thing that can sustain you is the word of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, they brought those Hebrew boys and they said that if you don't bow to our God, we're going to throw you into the fire.
Yeah.
And they said that you can throw us into the fire, we're never going to bow to our God. Because they knew, you know what they said? They said that even if our God does not deliver us, you know, people think it wasn't a statement of unbelief. It wasn't because they didn't believe that God wasn't going to deliver them. They believed that God was too good to fail. You know, it was impossible because they knew, listen, I would rather die than compromise God. I would rather die because they knew that there is no one that ever put their trust in God and God ever left them behind. So it is impossible for you to put your trust in the word of God and in God and God turned his back on you. You know, do you know that in the Bible, if you search through the scriptures, that anyone that ever said, if I perish, I perish, never perished? Look through the scriptures. Maybe you never looked at it. Anyone that ever said, can somebody tell that baby to shut up, please? Anyone that ever said, if I perish, I perish, never perished. So Jesus wasn't moved. Jesus wasn't worried. Jesus wasn't concerned because the word that came forth from God said, we are going over to the other side. Let me prophesy over your life this morning that you will not die prematurely. Your eyes shall see 2021 in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You shall live past 2021 and beyond in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't matter what the devil says. Your business is not going to collapse. You know, the Bible says that for the righteous are like a tree planted by the river. They bear fruit in all season. So you take the word of God and say that it doesn't matter whether the season is favorable or unfavorable. It doesn't matter whether the stocks are down or the stocks are up. I am a righteous man and I ought to bear fruit in all seasons. In dry seasons I shall bear fruit. In rainy seasons I shall bear fruit. In the winter I shall bear fruit. In all seasons I shall bear fruit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because, you know, so you hear from God. You take the word of God. And you begin to run with it. You know, let me show you something that is so powerful. And show you how. And, you know, we're going to pray very shortly because I wouldn't want to hold you for long because you preach too long. People tend not to come back. And I want you to come back. Because they're like that guy that preaches too long. I want you to go with me to Matthew. You don't know where Matthew is? Close your Bible. It's the last book after the Bible. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him on the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Somebody said he went out on the mountain to pray. You know, Jesus said, this is something that like sometimes baffles my mind. Jesus said that the works that I do, you would also do, and greater works than this would you also do. But you know, everybody, you know the works that everybody talks about? They talk about the walking on water, the raising of the dead. They forget that Jesus fasted and Jesus prayed. It was part of, he says that the works that I do, so which means that it's your responsibility to even pray more than Jesus and fast more than Jesus. So now you wonder why there is no miracles or there's nothing happening in your life? Because you neglect some of the works and you are expecting some of the other works. You know, you have to understand this, that until, and this is one of my favorite quotes, I stole it from Bishop Oedipo, but now it has become mine. Because I've said it more than he says it and nobody can do anything about it. Not even him. Until you accept the demands of the word, you can't put a demand on the word. So you can expect to do greater works than Jesus when you choose and pick some of the works that he did. So you see that Jesus sent the disciples away. The Bible says that he sent the disciples away. And then he went up on the mountain to do what? To pray. Now when the evening came, he was alone there. So Jesus went out and prayed throughout the night. You know, you could ask my friends that are sitting down there. There's out of every month, I'll go to the office and pray through the night. You know why? Because Jesus did it. So if I want to do the works that Jesus did, I have to do the works that Jesus did. It is simple, you know, even as dumb as I may sound, I think this is simple math. You want to do the works that Jesus did? Do the works that Jesus did.
That's right.
Don't take some of the works out. Jesus prayed, Jesus fasted. So, you know, so I, a couple times out of the, I'll just go and do an all night, pray through the night. Let me find what I was reading. So he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw, you know, if you are on the sea around 4 a.m. and you see a man walking towards you, how many of you know that you might need a new change of underwears and pants? You know, it's the truth. Just imagine, you were on the water fishing very early in the morning. And all of a sudden, you see somebody walking towards you. I just turned to my wife. Wife, how fast can you swim? Because you need to catch up. God for us all, each man for himself. I hope my wife is not listening. So now on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." You know, many people, when they talk about Peter walking on water, and you know, it's very, very easy for you to look at the negative in every situation, and that is like one of the human nature. You always look at, oh, Peter walked on water, and then Peter turned his eyes on the people. He took his eyes from Jesus, and then Peter sunk. And everybody's talking about, so don't take your eyes off Jesus, look up to Jesus. You know, you always preach out of the negative. But the fact of the matter is, Peter did walk on water. You know, he did. Whether he sunk or he did not sink, he walked on water. But I want you to look at something here. Peter understood that there was power in the words that came out of the mouth of Jesus. Peter understood that Jesus' word had the power to suspend him, to defile the laws of science and the laws of gravity. So he says that, Master, if it is you, command me, speak a word, and I know the words that you speak would be able to enable me to walk on water. Yeah. Hallelujah. So, you know, the importance and the power that is in the word of God. He says that, Jesus, if it is you, command me to come. Bid me to come to you, because I know that if you speak, all the laws of science has to wait. Hallelujah. So, you know, if God speaks concerning your health, if God speaks concerning your finances, if God speaks concerning your marriage, it doesn't matter what it is, it doesn't matter what you are going through, all you need is a word from the mouth of the living God, and God speaks and everything shall be all right. You know, look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3.
Go with me.
One of my favorite passages in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. I don't know, I'm wrapping up, if you can tell. Now faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, by faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. So we understand that this world was framed. So everything that you see was made by the word of God. By the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made from things which are visible. So the beautiful things that you see around you were not made from things that are visible, but they were made by the word of God. That God spoke and said, let there be, and it was. So every time you move in faith and you believe the word of God, what you are doing is that you are aligning yourself with God. You are taking upon yourself the God DNA on the inside of you. So you receive a word from the Lord and you begin to speak that word that comes from the Lord, the mouth of the Lord. And you find out that the word of God begins to create and begins to change every circumstance and every situation. Hallelujah. So we preach the word concerning healing. And the lady who was sitting in a wheelchair, the word of God went into her and then got out of the wheelchair and began to walk. And I was telling you the story about a lady in Finland, stage 4 cancer. Came, we preached the word of God. She received the word of God, acted upon it in faith. We laid hands on her and the Lord turned that death sentence that was upon her life. And guess what? They said that she only had a few months to live, and that lady is alive even today. And that was like a couple years ago. Hallelujah. So there is nothing that you are going through that the word of God cannot do something about it. There is no situation that is, listen, whatever is too big for God, whatever is too big for God, you know, then you are finished if your case is too big for God. But thanks be to God that the Bible says that with men, though things may seem impossible, that with God all things are possible. I am setting my faith this week and even this morning and tonight that the God of impossibility will do something great in your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That the God of a turnaround will turn your situation around. That where you have been crying and mourning, God will put laughter in your mouth. God will cause you to laugh. The Bible said that when the Lord turned around their captivity, they were like they that dreamt. It shall be like a dream unto you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That the works that God is going to do for you is going to buffer you. It's going to be a wonder. People will look at you and they will say that surely there must be a God. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. God is going to do something for you and people will look at you and say surely there must be a God. You know, I was preaching in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, and one guy came to me at the end of the service and said that when you were preaching, I felt something come through my knees. And then the pain disappeared. And he says that, but after you laid hands, he said that I had a problem with my legs and my back. And after you laid hands on me, my back also fixed. Listen, God is too good to fail in your life. There is Peter here. He could testify. You know, Peter is not a guy to come up and tell you that I got touched. You know, he's an old gangster, OG, you know. He's not a faker. He's not. He was a street guy. Street people don't fake. So one of the greatest testimonies I've heard was the reason why he's so great is because he came from Pito. He was watching me. One time I just felt to go online. He was watching me with, probably not him watching, his wife was watching and he was there. That was what happened, right?
We were both watching it.
You know, his wife was watching and he was there. And then, as I was ministering, I said that there is somebody watching. I said that, let the power of God go through your body like electricity. And he wrote me and said, and he told me when he saw me, he says that I there was problem with my spine, you know, from working. He hurt something in his back and he's been in pain. And the moment I said that, something went through him and he could feel a pop in his back, in his spine, and the pain. God strengthened his spine and the pain disappeared. Listen, the word of God, even if you are watching from a phone, the Bible said that for he sent forth his word and it healed them all of their diseases. As the word of God comes into your life today, he says that for his spirit entered into me as he spoke unto me. May the spirit of God, may the word of God enter into your problem, enter into your body, and may it begin to create what the doctor said is not there. May it begin to fix what the doctor said it is damaged. May it begin to enter into your bank account, into your finances, and may the word of God bring correction in your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, I'm telling you all these testimonies for you to know that God never fails. Men, you know, let God be true and let all men be lies.
Yeah.
If you receive, if you believe, you would see. Hallelujah. You know, one more testimony and then we pray. There was this lady who was watching me in Fitchburg in Massachusetts, and she said that she had a problem. For a very long time, she had to be helped to go to bed. A very beautiful lady, beautiful family. She had to be helped to go to bed and helped to get out of bed. You know, that's why I hate the devil. I hate the devil with everything in me. Because if you see what the devil do to people, do to their business, do to their finances, do to their marriage, do to their body. Because the Bible says that for the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, every you have to understand this. Every time something is going wrong in your life, it is never from God. Because God is the giver of all good things. If it is not good, it's not from God. So this lady has to be helped to go to bed and helped to get out of bed. And then she was watching me, and I said that there is a lady watching me. The Lord is fixing your spine. And immediately the Lord healed her. And now she's healed. I've seen her a couple times since. The last time I was there, she came up and gave the testimony. And the Lord healed her. The Lord is going to do a work in your body or in your life within a few moments from now. And I'm saying this because I know. Within a moment from now, that God is going to start touching people powerfully. Probably like nothing you've ever seen before. So powerful. I'm speaking like Trump right now. So powerful. It's never happened. Hallelujah. I'm excited for what God is about to do in your life. Amen. Because that is the God that we serve. Understand this. God wants to help you more than you want to be helped. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. God wants to help you more than you want to be helped. God wants to heal you more than you want to be healed. God wants to deliver you more than you want to be delivered. Because the Bible said that for God so loved the world that he sent his only son. All that he had, he has poured. There is so much investment that he has invested in you.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, he has invested so much in you that he can't afford. You know, there was one military guy that we know, and he said he's like very, very high up in the military. And he says that the government has invested so much in me, they can't afford. He says that, you know, I am in the class that they could, if they fire everybody else, they will not fire me. You know, there are people like that. That you've invested so much into them, you know, like the people, then if those that are in the military, those that are Navy SEAL and secret intelligence and those people, the government invests so much money in their training that they can't afford to lose them. They keep an eye on them wherever they go. That is how God has invested. He shed the blood of his only begotten son.
Yes, yes.
You know, Jesus took stripes on his back. You know, whatever you need from God, God has already paid for it. So if you don't receive your miracle, God is already lost. And he's not going to sit down for you to live here the same way you came. Listen, as I stand here as a servant of the living God, and I prophesy and demand over your life that I forbid you to leave this place the same way you came, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. God has so much investment in you for you to remain the same. There is so much expectation. You know, for God to save you, that's how much he believed in you. There are so many people on the street, they could, you know, they are not here. You are here. That's how much God believes in you. God is just waiting for faith to come alive in you. For you to say that, Lord, I am ready. I receive all that you said is mine. If you said that I am healed, I live here healed. If you said that I am delivered, I live here delivered. If you said that I am transformed, I live here transformed. Lord, I refuse to live the same way I came. I'm going to live with a testimony. I'm going to live with the glory of God. I'm going to live shouting and saying that, look what the Lord has done. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the word of the Lord says so. The word of the Lord says so. Just as Jesus could go asleep, you should have confidence in you that I am not going to be my life. After this week, my life will never be the same again. Amen. That is the confidence that you have. You know, one of the most powerful testimonies I've heard, and I keep saying every testimony is powerful, because truly so, every testimony is powerful. You know, that's why he says signs and wonders, because it makes you wonder. You know, one man of God that I follow and I love, he shared a testimony in one of his crusades. A lady came to him after the service, and this was before Facebook and all that, you know, before you could see streaming crusades and streaming everything. So the lady had no idea what was happening in the service. So, but the lady came to me and says that, when you were preaching, the Lord opened my eyes. I was in a different country. The Lord opened my eyes to be able to see what was going on in the service. And it says that in the service, as you were preaching, there was a huge angel standing behind you. And there were smaller angels who were flying over the people. And in the hands of the smaller angels, there were parcels, packages. And on the packages, there were things written on it like healing, health, marriage, prosperity. And the angels were in the crowd, going, flying over the crowd, delivering the packages to the people. And he says that in the midst of the people, when the angel would get to somebody and it looks like the person, spiritually, the person had their arms folded and the angel would pass over them. And there were ones that had their arms wide open to receive, and the angel would deliver the package into their hands. You know, since then I made up my mind that every time I go to church, I will go to church with an expectant heart. Because the Bible says that for the expectation of the righteous shall not what? Shall not what? Good. The expectation of the righteous shall not be what? Cut off. Because what you expect is what you get. You could decide, you know, there is people sitting here, which I don't, you know, I don't care. Because I know what I'm preaching is true. And the Lord has given us way too much proof for me to doubt the word of the Lord. Way too much proof for me to doubt the word of the Lord. You know, the town that I was just in, there was a 70-year-old lady. When the last time I was there, had migraines and headaches for over 50 years. 50 years. And 2 years ago when we were there, we prayed for her. The Lord ended that affliction, and she's not had any headaches ever since. So there is too much proof. The Lord has proven himself to me over and over again. So I know that the Lord is real. And I know that God can do the unthinkable in your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You know, there is no one that has ever put their faith in the Lord that the Lord has ever disappointed. Not one. Not one. Let all men be lies and let God be true. So what you believe, if you would receive the word of the living God and believe on God, God will do for you. The Bible says that what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what has not entered into the hearts of men, that is what God has prepared for those who love him and are called according to his will. There is much that God has prepared for you. There is so many good things that God is going to do for you this week. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, because Peter believed that the word of God was able to sustain him whilst he walked on water. The word of God is able to change the laws of nature. The word of God is able to defile the verdict that has been pronounced over your life. It doesn't matter. Maybe you've been told that, man, this debt that you have, there is no way you can come out of this debt. And the word of the Lord said, that speak to the mountain, be thou cast and be removed. Every mountain of debt that has risen up against your life, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, they are being removed now in Jesus' name. So the word of God, when it comes, the Bible says that for the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Yes. It can penetrate into the depth of life to be able to bring a change. Hallelujah. The word of God is like a surgical blade. It doesn't matter if they said you have cancer. The word of God is going to do a surgery and remove that cancer from your body in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Yes. Hallelujah. So, I remember I was preaching like this in somewhere, and one guy came to me and says that the way you talk, it seems like you really believe the word of God. I said, maybe I was wrong. Let me explain it to you. I really believe the word of God. I really do. Because without the word of God, I don't know where my life would have been. And that is what most Christians are missing out. Because you can make Christianity like very ethereal. Oh, I'm trusting God. No, you have to take responsibility for the word of God. James said that show me your faith and I will show you my faith with my works. For faith without works is dead. So you take responsibility. Jesus said to Peter, come. And Peter began to walk. And Peter began to walk on the water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So with that sickness, with that issue, in the name of Jesus, I want you to lift up your hands to heaven. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I take authority over every spirit of infirmity. In the mighty name of Jesus, I break your hold, you foul devil. I command you to loose your hold over the people of God. Let them be free. Go out of their body in Jesus. Now I want you to rise up on your feet. I want to pray with you. Rise up on your feet and just begin on. Within a few moments, begin to pray in the Holy Ghost.